Welcome to the Ecom 80/20 podcast, the show for brands looking to compete and win at selling online by building better customer relationships. Hosted by Isaac Hyman and Yaakov Rosenberg, co-founders of Highflyer Digital and marketing experts for 7-, 8-, and 9-figure brands, we'll reveal, discuss, and demystify the secret strategies that the top 1% use to acquire, convert, and retain customers better. Our mission is to help level the playing field and help you build more profitable, predictable, and scalable revenue streams for your business. Let's get started.
Welcome back to another episode of the Ecom 80/20 podcast. I'm your host, Yaakov Rosenberg, with my partner, Isaac Hyman. And today we are here with a special guest, Savannah Stiles, CEO of the Stiles Agency, a boutique digital marketing agency that focuses on women's clothing store. She brings a wealth of knowledge to the local space, as well as e-com, online, offline, everything about that. She is from Richmond, Virginia, and she's won several awards for her agency over the last couple of years. She offers web design services, SEO, Google Ads management, copywriting, and together with us, now email marketing to her customers. Thank you so much for joining us, and we're so happy to have you.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me. This is awesome.
Great. Yeah, thanks. So tell us a little bit about...
I actually had a quick question. Quick question before. Sorry if I interrupt. Is there anyone from Virginia or Richmond in March Madness right now?
In March Madness? Oh, it's all over the place. I mean, previous to like what I was doing now, I was in hospitality, right? Uh-huh. And I was in event management, and the hotels are always just booming. And I mean, when you talk about like the brackets, people are betting on the brackets and they're like, we know who's going to win. It's going to be great. But I mean, downtown Richmond flooded. It is absolutely flooded. People are, they're all about it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's always someone there. When I think about Virginia, I think someone's breaking a bracket somewhere. They're busting it up. So yep. Great place to be.
Yeah.
I think the radio stations are offering like $1 million to whoever gets the bracket like completely right. And I was like, cool, maybe I'll try.
Exactly.
It's impossible. That's why they're offering that much money. So it's a lot of fun. Okay. So tell us a little bit about the Stiles Agency, how you got into digital marketing, as well as brick and mortar marketing. You mentioned you were in hospitality, and what made that transition from hospitality over to marketing?
Yeah. So I have a very complex background. I come from a variety of different industries, which is amazing. So when I started off in hospitality. That was just something that always felt right by me. I just loved helping people and communicating with people and building relationships, right? And I got to meet tons of business owners along the way, and I always looked up to them. They always seemed to have everything together. And I was like, oh, that's so great. That would be wonderful to own a business one day, right? And during that phase, I had met a man who owned his own online clothing store. And that was all he did. He didn't have a brick and mortar location. He did have, it was like set up in a little small apartment, right? So he had all of his inventory laid out. Yeah, basically, right. But he sold all of his stuff on eBay. So he would buy and resell things. And so I was there managing the office, the apartment. And so anytime an order would come in, I would package it and I would ship it out and manage all the inventory. And I just noticed that the sales were not very high. So obviously I found myself getting really, really bored very quickly, especially, twiddling your thumbs. There's nothing really to do. Just kind of sit around and make coffee all day, which I was not opposed to. Okay. I love coffee.
Okay. We all
but
do.
But he didn't have a social media, right? Exactly. But he didn't have any type of social media presence. The only people that were able to find him is if they were looking for his specific product on eBay, and nobody knew that he existed outside of that. And so obviously within my generation, social media, I grew up with it essentially. And so I was like, I'm going to start making these accounts for him. Why not? And the moment that we got him on Facebook and Instagram, he was flourishing. I mean, he was like, I don't know how all of these sales are coming in. I'm like, it's because you're posting these pictures. You're showing people what these outfits look like now, and with the right product photography and imagery. And he was just floored by it. Because obviously he was a lot older, so he had no idea what social media and like the power that it actually had. But you know, he was just solely relying on, yeah, exactly. But he was just solely relying on people just searching for his products on eBay. And so that's kind of where I got my start and my introduction into like the digital marketing field. And I loved it, but I never saw myself as like, I didn't know as much as I should have. Right. So after that, I just kind of went into sales roles and I loved sales. It was kind of natural because of, again, how I connect with people, how the relationships that I build with them are just like literally so strong. Like I've made friendships with all the people that I've worked with. And like last week I went out and had brunch with one of our clients because that she's a close friend now. And that's what we really pride ourselves on. But you know, the sales kind of just led into it. And then my business partner and my partner in life, Chris, he's always kind of been in this field. And he started off with doing lots of social media marketing as well. He worked for a casting director out in LA, and he was responsible for helping her find people to go into her casting workshops, where she would teach them, you know, how to do well in their casting calls and, you know, for their auditions and what casting directors really looked for. And so he was responsible for filling those seats for her. And so he got his introduction there. And so he's been in this industry for well over 10 years. And he always said that he always wanted to make it a business. And I'm over here like, okay, yeah, sure, whatever, you know, do what you're going to do. But because of my sales background, I'm definitely the people person. You know, he's very quiet. He's real good at what he does. I tell you what he is. He's very quiet. He's very introverted. Yeah. Whereas I am very extroverted. And so he really needed somebody to kind of come in to help. And I always said, you know, people, when they say they work with your partner, don't do it. Don't do it, because, you know, it's just, it goes downhill. Things go bad. Business goes up in flames. But what we found is it's been the absolute opposite, that we complement each other so well that, you know, our clients are just like, you know, the dynamic duo, Savannah and Chris, they're amazing. And, you know, it's not just us, it's our team as well. But, you know, just that's kind of a long-winded story of kind of where I was and how we kind of got to where we are. But it was all a question of, you know, are you ready to start the business yet? And finally, you know, the twist of the arm, and I'm like, yes, fine. And we've been rolling ever since. And it's been fun because we get to see the people that I've made connections with over the years and the industries that I've worked in, and we're helping them grow and we're helping them realize their personal goals and their professional goals. And that just makes it all worth it.
What's really fascinating about your story, what you just shared was to me, is that especially considering we're in e-commerce, being able to mimic the customer experience offline and online from brick and mortar stores and doing that online is so challenging. And it seems like you definitely have a great position in getting that kind of blending the two and making sure that the customers that are not in their local area still have a really great experience as if they're in the store.
Exactly. Absolutely. That's literally what it's all about. And really just understanding your customer and what they're looking for, what they actually want, because that's who you're trying to reach. It's not about you. You know, the experience has to be catered towards your customer, towards your ideal client, right? And that's where a lot of businesses fall short most of the time, is that they lose sight of their customer, or they're too focused on growing, that they forget who they're serving. They forget what is best for their client. And, you know, that's kind of a common thing nowadays with a lot of business owners that I've interacted with.
Yeah. And we see that also, you know,
they put the customer on the back burner.
Right. And we see that, you know, from two levels. As agency owners, the three of us are here. We have to look at two different things. We have to look at our clients and we have to look at our clients' clients, because at the end of the day, if we're not servicing our clients' clients, we're not servicing our clients. And that's just a matter of how you have to be present everywhere, how you have to look at their data, look at their information, help them as much as you possibly can. You know, I think that it's fantastic that a lot of your clients are local, you know, so you can go out to brunch with a client who became a friend. You know, we, in a post-COVID world, we are unfortunately, but also fortunately, living with Zoom, in that we get to meet a lot of our clients over Zoom. We don't get the opportunity to meet them in person. Whereas you work serving the local business,
right,
get to go out and see the stores and see the products themselves and then service your clients that way.
Yeah. And it is fun. And we have clients that aren't local and that we have our conversations over Zoom. And again, I still love that, but I also still love being able to just get in the car and drive and go see them and, you know, purchase some of their clothes. And it's just, cause it's nice to have that face-to-face experience. Cause you know, people are still, you know, it's a digital world. And I'm like, hi, nice to meet you virtually. But you know, one day I'd like to be able to go and visit, which I do. I'll travel out of state and I'll just go and pop in and say, hey, just as a little surprise. Cause I genuinely feel that in order to know my clients, I have to actually physically be there sometimes just to sit down for a little bit and just say, okay, let me see how your customers shop. Let me see how you interact with them. Is there any opportunities here that you're currently missing out on that you could capitalize on, or just something that you could do in store that's going to make more people want to come back and be those raving clients, those raving customers that come back again and again and again.
Yeah. And it's the in-store experience.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. Good.
Makes a difference in that you can translate that. Yeah. If you can go and see it yourself, you can see how they interact with their clients, how they interact with their customers and what, you know, what things need to be displayed certain ways and where people are and in their shopping and buying cycle. It really makes a big difference. Isaac, sorry to interrupt you before, but go ahead.
No, same. Yeah, exactly what you're saying. It seems, and as you're probably talking that, it seems like a very omni-channel approach you need to, you know, go into. So, I mean, solving that customer journey online and offline, it seems like is that a challenge now in the modern day brick and mortar store? Or do you find that they're overcoming that hurdle?
Yeah, I mean, I think that sometimes it can be a little overwhelming for them because they don't necessarily know where to start. And so they need somebody to really come in to help them identify what's going to be the right channels to market to, right? So, because there's so many options nowadays. And I think what kind of really gets them kind of confused or gets them like where they're feeling overwhelmed and they don't know where to take the next step is understanding what channels are appropriate for them and understanding their clients, where they are and where they should put most of their focus on. And so that way they can really have that omnipresence with their customers and their potential customers, because if they're not being exposed to their potential customers, they're not going to be found. So they have to be on the channels that they're at. I mean, whether, you know, I've had people that are like, oh, I just don't like Instagram or I just don't like TikTok. Well, I get that, but that's where your customers are. Like, if you don't like it, you need to find somebody that does like it, that can do it for you, because otherwise you're missing out on opportunity. Even with direct mail, you know, email marketing and direct mail marketing, that they go wonderfully together. You know, for some businesses, direct mail marketing isn't as profitable. You know, they don't see as much of an ROI on it, depending on the offer that they're putting out, obviously. Right. Sometimes, you know, it just takes another perspective to be like, okay, well, maybe it's the message, not necessarily the direct marketing itself. But there's so much out there and there's so much opportunity that, you know, we identify when we talk to potential clients and to see like exactly what they're currently investing in with their marketing and if they've actually seen a return on it. If they can't tell me that they've seen a return on it, then you're wasting your money. And that's where I think they're just like, I don't know. And so a lot of times they can get the wool pulled over their eyes by people are just like, oh, well, this is the way to go. This is the way to go. You have to do this. You have to do this. Well, they have to have a good understanding of where their clients are, where they actually need to be, where they need to focus their energy on, because otherwise they're going to be spread too thin and they're going to be wasting a lot of time and a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one thing I would say, and just to kind of add on to what you're referring to, because we have a couple clients that actually do have brick and mortar stores. They're not just solely e-commerce. And what we're finding is twofold. There's number one, this concept of, and it's probably something you're very familiar with conversational commerce, where people are just kind of dialoguing with brands on social media, on Facebook Messenger. Historically, people think about email marketing as just an outbound kind of marketing approach, but people are responding to emails now and making it more inbound. People are responding to SMS. I just pulled up a whole screen of SMS conversations for my clients. Like, hey, by the way, you're sending SMS, but there's this kind of dialogue going back and forth. How are you handling that? How are you managing that? And that kind of was like, oh gosh, now we have to focus on customer service now. So that kind of conversational commerce happens with all these channels now, and they have to be, everyone has to be excellent in them. And it's quite challenging if you're a solo business owner and just focused on brick and mortar, right?
Absolutely. I mean, if most of the time when they're starting out, it is just them. You know, they have to figure everything out for themselves before they can go and hire anybody else to take on that workload for them. So it's like, where do I start? I don't know where to start. So I'm just going to do everything. And then nothing gets accomplished. And so it's very challenging. And it's just about finding the right solution and just kind of taking a step back, because what I've found, at least with the people that we talk to on a daily basis, is just, you know, everything is just overwhelming. They don't know where to start. They don't know what's going to be most effective. And it's just taking the time to just have a consultation with somebody who's in that area. You know, like, it doesn't hurt to have a conversation, you know, even if it doesn't go anywhere. Find somebody that's willing to like step up and help you and say, this is exactly where you need to put your focus. And here's why you need to do it, because it's simple for you to get started. And like, I'm not afraid to tell that conversation. I tell people how to get started without me, because it's like, you got to get started somewhere. And I'd like for you to actually have the opportunity to start growing, as opposed to just being like, oh, well, it's not going to work. You can't afford me. You know, best of luck to you.
Yeah,
that's not right. We want to see everybody grow. You want to see everybody start to, you know, get some momentum. And I like to be that person to try to help whenever I can, however I can. And it doesn't mean I'm going to do free stuff, but if I have to like resources, I'm like, here, start here, read this, do this, and it'll help you, you know? And that's just what they need. They need somebody to kind of hold their hand and just say, you know, I'm here for you. This is where you should go.
What would you say is the biggest challenge you found when you're trying to encourage a brick and mortar store to go online? You know, they know they need to, they know, you know, they may not be getting as much floor traffic as they were expecting, and there's a lot of opportunity online. People are still shopping. So what would you, what's your way in that door? And what would you say your biggest challenge is when it comes to that?
Sometimes it's just the resistance to change. Kind of the fear of not knowing and letting go of the reins. A lot of owners that, especially if they've literally built it themselves from the ground up, it is so hard to let go of your baby to somebody else and to think like, or especially, you know, the horror stories that they hear from people that are in the digital marketing world, that they've been screwed over. You know, they wasted all this money, and then now all of a sudden they have no access to their website. You know, they don't know what's going on, and, you know, they just don't understand anything, right? Because obviously the world of digital marketing is a foreign language to a lot of people. If you're not in it, it's hard to understand. It's hard to digest, and it's extremely overwhelming. And a lot of people that we've met with, one of the biggest problems is really not honestly the resistance to change. It's just they've been burned in the past and they're scared to do it again, because they just don't know who to trust with their baby, with their business child. You know, it means a lot, because it's their livelihood. And it really breaks my heart when they've had experiences like that, and they just, now they feel like they can't trust anybody, because that's the unfortunate side of things. Now it makes our jobs harder, the people who are actually there to do right, because now we have to convince them like, we're good people. Like, we have your best interests at heart. We're going to do right by you no matter what, because there are people out there that just either they don't know what they're doing and they're doing a very lackluster job, or they're just, you know, I wouldn't want to assume that anybody's doing anything, you know, malicious or just, you know, just trying to get the money out of it. But there are people out there like that, and it's unfortunate, but, you know, it just kind of puts more of the pressure on us to really put out, not just really just put out like content, but show them exactly like why they can trust us. That transparency I found has been really helpful in gaining trust, because, you know, for us, you know, we have those transparent dashboards where like they can log in anytime and they can see their progress. Or if they ever had questions, it's like, you can pick up the phone and call me and I will break it down for you. So that way you understand it. Because if you can't hold me accountable for my work and what we're doing for you, I think that's a problem.
Of course.
And because it allows them to feel involved. And I think that a lot of people, they cut that off. They're just like, you know, oh, just trust us to do what we're doing and, you know, it'll all be fine. Well, for them, sometimes it's not that easy. And especially if they've been burned, that's not something that's going to make them be like, yes, yeah, you sound like the type of person. Like you have to do a little bit more for them and to show them why they're investing in what you're offering and that you're actually going to take care of them at the end of the day. Yeah.
Trust building. Yeah. We actually, it's funny because we have, I have some legacy clients on the other side that are not e-commerce really, that mm-hmm. run a lot of print ads and they run a lot of billboards and kind of out of home kind of type of marketing materials. And I like exactly what you're saying. I feel like the digital end of the marketing allows for that transparency, clarity, and just accountability based on the fact that you're even delivering results and stats. If you run a print ad, it's a little challenging for them to measure. And most of the time, if they're running a print ad, it's more like, hey, please notice me. And, mm-hmm. and I think that's a major challenge. You're absolutely right. And that transparency in the analytics is so important. And also, I think that to add on a little bit, I think that when brands feel burned a little bit by other agencies or digital marketers, they tend to share that burning feeling with their email list. You know, and they tend to have this issue of like, oh God, just buy something already. And we've seen that so many times that one of our webinars has why brands fail at email SMS is because they just get this bad vibe of the channel and they assume everyone has that bad vibe and they just kind of blast out emails to them. Take that. And it's not a good experience. You know what I mean?
No.
Not a good experience. Yeah.
Not talking to your customers. With your customer, you're talking at them. So that's probably not the way to go when you're trying to build that trust. So let's move into a little bit of online and in store. So how do you merge a customer that is, or help your customers merge their customers from an in-store experience to an online experience or vice versa?
Yeah. So, I mean, typically it usually just starts with the brick and mortar. So they have their customer base and it's just about the education piece. Like when they come in, how are they actually marketing to them? Most of the time, what I found is that they actually do have emails. You know, they will email their customers because they'll email them coupons, you know, they'll, or at least in the most basic way that they possibly can, because they have to have some sort of information to go off of. I even have a client where she has, and I love her, she does have an email list, but she also has a customer card and like one of those inbox or those little files.
Index
ones, and she has so many of them and like they're everywhere. So like anytime somebody comes in, she's fumbling through like, what's your last name? And she'll go through them. And she has everything that you could need to know about them. I mean, like their, when the last time they came in, what they bought, who they are. And I mean, their birthday, their anniversaries, their email.
You know, that's computerized right now. She knows that, right?
Exactly. Yes. And I love her, but that's how it's worked for her and, you know, power to it. But so she's gotten to like, we're like, now she'll take the email addresses and she sends them over. So that way we can put them in for her and everything. So, but it's just about educating them like, oh, let me give you some sort of incentive to be able to the convenience, you know, just selling them the convenience that, hey, everything that you've ordered here, you can also get online. It's super easy. You know, you can go here and just for your first purchase, so you can see how easy and amazing it is, you know, take 10% off or whatever the offer may be. And just getting them to kind of utilize that, because it also, when you have an online presence, it just makes things easier. You know, for the people who can't travel to you, it allows you to be exposed to a nationwide audience as opposed to just local people who can drive to you versus the people who can't, but would love to buy your stuff. You know, they'd love to see it or they'd love to have something and you're not there.
Right.
So that's always a huge hurdle, you know, for a business. If they're not willing to go online, it's so much missed opportunity, like so much. And that's unfortunate. But on the flip side, you know, if they're just an e-com only, how do I put it? Are you trying to say like if they are just online only, like how do they get like people to come in store?
Yeah, if they have both, if they have an e-com store and a brick and mortar store, but they only have or incentivizing somebody to come into the store, or and on the flip side, incentivizing somebody to shop online when they're only a brick and mortar store shopper. But if they're an e-commerce shopper only, but we know they're local and they only live five blocks away from the store, how do we get them to come into the store? Because, you know, obviously there's rent and there's overhead involved in having a store.
Right.
So
yeah,
we want to encourage people to come back to the store as well. So
of course. Yeah, because we'd want to, because of course, you know, now you're also having to pay for shipping too, because shipping costs aren't going down any more than they are now.
Nope.
So, you know, it's just keeping your customer in mind what they're looking for, what you feel is going to actually bring them in to come and see you, whether it's like a special offering in store only, you know, you have to come in and see us, or online only offer, get them to actually go to your website and do something there. Those are kind of the type of offers that are just going to get people kind of off of their seat, and either in store or online, is what is actually going to make the most difference. Is it going to be a giveaway? You know, do you have to be in store to, like, you know, fill out the little card and put your email address and, you know, put it in the little fishbowl? Just have to be creative with it. And because it has to be a healthy balance, right? You can't just have everything online, as much as a lot of them would like it to. They're like, oh, you know, it'd be great if I had, you know, thousands of online orders, you know. Yeah, that's great and fine and dandy, but how are you going to establish like that connection with them where they're like, that's when they become those raving customers. Like, I will only buy from them because I'm buying from this brand, or I'm buying from this person. Mm-hmm. And being able to kind of get that level of commitment and trust and loyalty can be really difficult, but if you can identify with them and relate to them and get them to have that trust with you, there's no way that they won't. You know, you just have to give them that wow experience where it's just like, I won't shop anywhere else, you know, slipping them that little free gift, you know, thank you, you spent $100, you know, I'm going to give you this little accessory for free. What? You know, a free accessory, like, because that could be what, for a retailer, like they maybe purchased that for what, $2?
Right.
For them, they don't know how much it is, but to them, it's like, wow, you know, you gave them something for free. That's amazing. You know, nobody else has done that for me before. I know, I wish they'd do that for me at Target when I go shop there. They ain't going to do that. They're not going to do that. They're not going to be like, oh, thank you so much for spending your entire paycheck here. Let me go ahead and give you this free packet of bubble gum. I'd be like, free gum, awesome. But no, they're not going to do that. But
Target,
they're empowered. But with these small businesses, they're empowered to do that. They can have that chance. They can have that opportunity to actually wow them and say, wow, I'm not going to get this from anybody else. I'm going to come here. Like, they're awesome. And they're going to tell their friends about it. You have to go and see them because they're amazing. That's what they need to have. They need to have that connection with people. Otherwise, they're just going to fall in line with everybody else and they're not going to stand out.
Yeah, I know. Especially, Isaac got a lot. Isaac is itching. He's like jumping out.
No, I think it's very, it's so important to also, you know, exactly what you're saying. Customers want to see that experience offline and online. And I think also what we've been able to explain to clients also is to kind of measure the incrementality of having a customer who does both. If we actually ran a test once where we were building out segments and we said, okay, you have your buyers online, and then you have buyers in store. And then let's look at who buys online and in store. And the lifetime value of that customer was probably 6 times the lifetime value of just an online and just in store. So if you get someone to buy in both places, you have, like you said, you have a customer for life who can now solve that whole convenience challenge where, you know, buy online, pick up in store, even if you're, you know, even if you're shopping online, and also just have a bigger selection online that the customer may not be able to find in a, you know, 10,000 square foot store. If that's too big, I don't know.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? So the lifetime value is where we've seen customers, brands really embrace. And it's just something no one really measures as much, and they really should.
Yeah, absolutely.
And one of the things you mentioned was, you know, personalizing and also making it personal. And when you have that experience, you have that opportunity, sales and business is about connection, and you don't always have that opportunity when you're shopping online. And part of the communication channels that we work with, specifically email and SMS, is about building that connection and building that comfort level when you're talking with your client, your customers, as opposed to talking at your customers, talking to them or blasting out information. You want to make it something that they want to talk to you back. And that's why a good response is always important. But that's a merge, and that's a challenge when it comes to online. An opportunity than you have when you're in store. You as a business owner, you as, you know, a salesman on the floor can talk and converse with the people in the store. Can I help you with anything? Is there anything that you're looking for? Did you find everything you were
exactly
looking for? These are all things that you can have a pop-up on your website and say, did you find everything you're looking for? But when you're not actually shopping on the website, but you're talking through an email channel or an SMS or even social, you have that chance to really converse with your customers, and it makes a big difference to get them to be a brand ambassador for you.
Exactly. Yeah. And I love that you actually mentioned that, because email is so important. I mean, I've heard so many other business owners, they're like, oh, email is a dead channel. And no, it is not. Email is far from being dead. That is how you get those customers re-engaged with you. Like there's no other way that you can really do that, honestly, and, you know, with SMS blasting. Sure, that also works too, but that also gives you an opportunity to just like reintroduce new things to them, to be able to show off a little bit of your personality. If you're a little sassy brand, guess what? You can put that little sassiness into your email and they're going to love it. And then, you know, just it's that's the way for an online only store to be able to showcase some sort of personality where people are like, you know, that's another wow experience. You know, when they send me an email, I want to open it because it's something new. It's something fun. Maybe they put something funny in there. Like it's like a quote of the day or so, a funny joke that they want to put at the little bottom that they look forward to all the time. You know, it's just something that they can do that's just a little bit extra that's going to make that experience better. So they can't do it in store because they don't have a brick and mortar. They have to find a creative way to do it and get in front of their customer. So, you know, maybe they're including a video in their email marketing campaign. That's just them saying, hey, you know, good to see you again, or whatever it is, you know, thank you for being a customer for X amount of time. Here's X amount off, or, you know, you're going to get this free gift, you know, on your birthday, you know, make sure you sign up. So that way, you know, they're able to keep them engaged, because if you can't engage your customers and make them feel like you still care about them and that they're important, they're going to go somewhere else, because now that wow experience is gone. Now you've fallen into that category of just one of the other ones, one of the other emails that just comes right through the inbox and goes straight to the spam or goes straight to the promotions folder, because now they don't care, you know, and
more of a transactional relationship rather than a personal relationship. And that kind
transactional relationships do not work at all. Yeah. And that sense of indifference, they want to feel like they're the most important customer. They want to feel like you genuinely care about them as a person and not just for their money. Because if they if it just seems like you're just in it just to get their money, they don't care. What's going to incentivize them to come back? It wouldn't incentivize me. Yeah.
Exactly it.
Isaac, so why don't you share a little bit about some of your experience? You worked, you know, previous client you worked with was in store and online. Share some of the insights that you felt was a great way to wow your customers. You know, maybe
some of the
send some knowledge over to Savannah and her quest.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Savannah, you're probably seeing a lot of you know, from what I see, that there's a lot of direct to consumer brands starting to open stores right now. You know, it's been the trend for the past maybe 3-4 years where you know, even brands like Peloton, Warby Parker had a few stores, but also Casper, Brooklyn are starting to open their own direct stores that are trying to wow the customer experience online and offline, and try to blend the two. So I think what customers would probably want to see is like exactly what we discussed before, is how do we marry that? How do we create that in-store experience and do it online? So like you're saying, that kind of like 30, 60, 90 day window of a new customer when they come on board and they're delighted and they want to be helped. They want to feel like they're being treasured. An example of that we also work with is if a customer bought a bike, then you actually have an opportunity to go in store to get a free tune-up, or you can go in store to ride it for free and try it out and try all different accessories. So I think that you're seeing probably a lot more online brands starting to come offline in order to help that customer experience be even more. So There's a lot of great things to do at that. What has been your experience for specifically, I guess, women's apparel, and how does that work? How has that worked successfully for you?
Yeah, I mean, it just really depends on the owner and what they're trying to accomplish. You know, a lot of them will offer, you know, exclusivity for certain things. But for the most part, like, you know, they'll come in, for example, one of our clients does like freestyling, you know, to get them to come back in. You know, you can have your complimentary 30-minute styling session with our personal stylist. They'll help you pick out exactly what's going to work best for you. And they try on the outfits, and guess what happens?
They buy it.
They buy the whole outfit. They buy the entire outfit, because now they push the easy button. It's easy. And that was free for them to do, but it also increased that sales value. It allowed them to show their expertise. It allowed them to, it brought that customer back in. And it's like, oh, for me, I get to have a free styling session. Well, why not? I mean, I take it. You know, so they're like, hey, you know, come in so we can, like, you know, just, we want to give you a personal styling session, show you what works well, what's not going to work well for your body type, whatnot. That those are just small things that you can do that are still free, cost you nothing except for your time to actually do that. But it incentivizes people. It makes them feel good. And it makes them feel like they're cared for and thought about. And it also helps the bottom line for the company as well. So it's a win-win.
Increases your basket size. You bought maybe a pair of shoes and you got to style it with all these other, you know, clothing items. So boom, now you come to the store, buy the whole outfit, like you just said.
Buy the
you
whole
can't
thing.
Do that online at a great level. You're stuck with just seeing as a shoe buyer, and you kind of do your... So that's fascinating to see that that blend of wowing the customer online and offline. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's fantastic. And you know, there are ways to upsell a customer online, but it's not the same experience, right? You might say you might also be interested. It's not the same experience of having a personal, you know, personal shopper with you, and that's
right.
A great luxury that in-store and boutique shops really have. This has been a fun conversation. I think that we can keep going, but I want to
for a while
our limit here on just trying to keep in a box. So if you would just tell us your go-to e-commerce way of helping your businesses work smart and not hard, because as our podcast name implies and says, we are the Ecom 80/20 podcast, and we talk about how the 80/20 rule, 20% of your customers make up 80% of your revenue, 20% of your efforts make up 80% of your results. How is it that you help your businesses do that so that they can work smarter, not harder?
Yeah. So there's a lot of different ways that we kind of step in, because again, we don't just want to see the business grow. We want to see the personal growth and development as well as an actual owner. Because even for us starting out, one of the biggest things was being overwhelmed and trying to take on too many things at once and thinking that you can be the expert at everything, right? The art of delegation is amazing and allows you to free up the space that you need and your personal time and your business time to focus on what really matters and what's really going to drive that dial. And just finding people who do things that are better than you are, you know, because for example, with SEO, there's a lot of people out there that are like, you know, do it yourself SEO, go look on YouTube, you know, it'll give you little hints and stuff. That's great. But guess what? It's a time suck. It's going to take your time to learn how to do something at an amateur level. Whereas if you calculate what your time is actually worth, you could invest that with somebody who actually does it professionally. And that's going to help them significantly to be able to focus on what really matters and not be so overwhelmed with the things that don't matter.
Right.
It's literally just being cognizant of your time and making the most of it and putting the right people in the right seats. If you don't have the right people in the right seats, it's just your business is going to be stagnant and you're going to come across a lot of different issues. Whereas if you just outsourced what you're good at, but you don't like to do, that just makes it so much easier. Bring in somebody that can help you with the things that you shouldn't be focused on and focus on what you should be focusing on. Because again,
elevate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's
get them off the bus.
Yeah. People just, they don't understand how valuable their time really is. And it takes away so much from your actual business, and they could really benefit from just getting some more of that time back, so that way they can actually put more into it and literally save them time. Because if they spend 80% of their time trying to do something, probably going to only give you about 20% of the results. Whereas if you at least put in most of your effort and focus into that 20%, you're going to see 80% of those results. And that's exactly. Just
amazing.
Yeah. That's kind of the best advice that I have for that.
And it's just simply like, find someone who plays at what you have to work at, you know, someone absolutely. Who enjoys it, and you'll actually, like you said, 80-20, you know, get all those results.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better.
Yeah.
Not my line.
No. I know where it came from. Yep, I know where that came from.
Good friend, Josh.
Good friend, Josh.
Yeah. So this, like I said, this has been a lot of fun, and we can go on and talk for hours about this stuff, because there's so much experience that we have, and so many things that we can share with each other and our audience as well. So if somebody actually wanted to check out you, check out the Styles Agency, where can they find you online? Where can they find you on social media? How can they get in touch with you?
Oh yeah, we're everywhere. And if you look at thestylesagency.com, you can find us there. We are on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. At Styles Agency for Facebook, at Styles Agency on Instagram, and at the Styles Agency on Twitter. We're also on LinkedIn. You can give us a follow there. Follow me, connect with me. I'm always happy to make new connections with people, and always happy to help and give some advice wherever I need it, whether it's business and how to manage your business and your personal life, and, you know, getting the time back that you so rightfully deserve.
Amazing. Not TikTok yet?
Not yet.
No, right.
Soon, eventually. Yeah, same here.
Right.
That's something that you can offer your clients. TikTok's big in apparel, so I'm sure.
It is. Absolutely.
Great. So this has been a lot of fun. And thanks again for coming. This has been a great episode of the Ecom 8020 podcast. I'm your host, Yaakov Rosenberg, with my partner, Isaac Hyman. And our special guest today was Savannah Styles from the Styles Agency in Richmond, Virginia. Thanks again for listening. Have a great night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Ecom 8020 podcast. If you enjoyed this show, please make sure to subscribe and follow us on social at High Flyer Digital for daily tips, content, and videos. To put this week's strategy into action and move your brand forward, go to highflyerdigital.com/book and schedule a free 15-minute chat with Isaac and Yaakov. Let's partner together to compete and win at e-commerce. Your brand is worth it. Until next week, this is Isaac and Yaakov wishing you a successful and profitable week.